this morning. Father, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I pray you'd bless Brother Bishop. Give him great liberty. And Lord, I pray that you would open up the hearts of people. Our folks don't know him, and he's new to us and new to most. And Lord, I'm so thrilled that he's here. And I pray that you would just give him liberty and power. And Lord, keep us free from distractions. Help us all just to settle in and enjoy the service. Bless the music. And then Lord, bless those who are hurting today. These that we've mentioned and others that we know of who are going through tough times. And many here, Lord, there are many visitors here who are here because they heard about a message of hope. And Lord, I want them to be helped today. And so please bless this time we spend together, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod?
And when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God.
Oh, Mary, did you know?
The dead will rise again.
The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb.
Oh, Mary, did you know
that your baby boy is Lord of all creation?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation?
Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb?
And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Mary, did you know?
Appreciate that. All right. Well, I'm guessing 3 years ago, I went to hear Brother Bishop. He was at a church here in the area, and I went over to hear him, and I'd heard about him, and spoke to him after the service, he and his wife, and I said, I'm going to call you, and we did. We conversed back and forth. Never could get a date. He'd say, Brother Finley, I'm going to come. I want to come. He said, I don't have any openings until 2037 or something. No, it was. He is very much in demand. Very much. God has given him a great audience, And I said, look, I'll take whatever. Well, I don't want to wait that long. He said, I want to get there. He said, let me put you on our cancellation list. And so we got on his cancellation list, and he would call me and offer a date, and it wouldn't work, back and forth and back and forth. I told him this morning, I think I understand now, because if our people have ever needed a message of hope, we need it today. And things are, you know, I'd guess 5 of our people here this morning have lost a spouse in the last 12 months. Cancer is prevalent. Heart disease is prevalent. And on top of the burdens of the economy and folks without jobs and people here have lost their homes. And God knows exactly when He wants to have His man come. And I think God has brought Brother Bishop here today to encourage us. He's going to share some of what God's done in his life. And the same God that brought him through his trials wants to bring you and I through our trials. And Brother Bishop, we're glad you're here. Brother Ken, help him if you would. And he's going to come and preach to us. Let's give him a hand. Just make yourself at home.
Okay. Brother. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, it's great to be here. We did finally get together, and I'm honored to be in this church.
Would you prefer a lapel mic?
No, this will be fine,
okay,
Pastor.
Good.
Thank you. This is a special time of year, and I know that this is a busy time of year, and I thank you taking time. Make sure you spend some time just worshiping the Lord during the Christmas season. And the really good sales don't happen tonight. They start tomorrow, so be sure to be back tonight and at 5:30. I'm going to give you part one this morning of how God has worked in my life these last 13 years. Part two is better than part one, and I can't wait to hear it. I've heard it before, so you better come back. We do have a table in the back, and since I'm just here today for two services, let me mention to you, first of all, I don't need you to do a thing for me. I am here to be a help and blessing to you. That's what I'm here for. And if Pastor told me, Brother John, the economy has gotten tough and we're not able to pay your plane expense, I'd pay my own to get to go tell people how good God is, and I really mean that. On the table in the back are some CDs and books that I have either written or we've produced. And here's the way this goes. I only sell things so I can give more away. That's the only reason I sell them. And I've given the pastor a set of all the CDs that I've produced, that I personally produced. Some things back there, others produce, and I don't own the copyright on them. And so I'm not able to do what I can do for the ones that I've made. But those that I have produced, I've given a copy to your pastor so that if you can't afford them, he has my permission to run off as many copies as anybody would need, and you can get it free. And I want to say with the books and so forth that I have back there, if there's an adult here and you're hurting, there's something back there you need. Everything I have back there is to help and encourage people. Either if you're going through a trial or somebody you know, sometimes you can hurt as deeply for someone else as you do yourself. And so if there's something back there you need and you can't afford it, all you have to do is just come by and tell me, and it's yours. And but for those that can afford to purchase them, I have a CD. Three of them actually make up my life story. It's not going to be exactly like I'm telling it today. I purposely do it a little different on the CDs. But one is called God is So Good. And then in book form, I have my testimony. It's called God is So Good, Especially When You're Hurting. Then we also have my life story on a DVD. A dear pastor friend of mine wanted to produce that and make it. And there's two DVDs inside. It goes back to my childhood, my wife's childhood, and telling how the Lord has worked in our lives and through these years, especially the last 13 that I'll tell you about today. And then we have one. I wanted to make one a few years later, and I thought, what am I going to call it? So I call it God is Still Good. And even though there are many conditions that have gotten worse instead of better, I still believe God's good. And then the latest one I did is called Reasons for Hope. Now, you know, I can't always give you a reason why something happened, but I can give you reasons for hope once it has, no matter what it is. And those are back there. I got one on the marriage, how to make your marriage a classic. And I compare a good marriage to a vintage automobile. And when I was doing that series, I met a man that had a classic 57 Chevy. He turned down $20,000 for him. I bet he's wishing he took it now. And he showed me the pictures. And when he got that thing, it was beat up and window broke and bent in and rusty. And 2 years later when he got done, he had something that looked absolutely beautiful. I had my eyesight back then and I saw it. And that gave me this ideal. I don't care if you have to drag your marriage in on a trailer. You give it to God, he'll make a classic out of it. You say, Brother John, I married a lemon. Well, here's what you do if you married a lemon. Squeeze it real hard and add a lot of sugar, and sometimes it gets better. And you say, I'm married to a grouch. Well, listen, if you've been married long, you either made him that way or married him that way, one or the other. So take your choice. But I have a new book this year we put out, Be of Good Cheer, and it deals with discouragement, depression. I went through that. I'll tell you a little about that. Maybe you know somebody or you yourself are going through it. It's nothing to be ashamed of to say that I battled with this. And great preachers, the great Charles Spurgeon, battled with it constantly. And different ones have gone through it. And there's one chapter in there where a dear lady that went through postpartum depression, and it is real, when she lost a child midterm about 5 months along, and how the Lord helped her. I wish every lady would read that. But anyhow, those are some materials. I have some for teens. Hope in the Dark is a wonderful book. Some friends of mine compiled it of about 20 teens that have been through incredible hurt and pain and how God helped them through it. Listen to me, a teenager, if you're struggling, battling, there is nothing you face that one of them haven't and made it through. And good teens need to read it, and I promise you'll appreciate having a good Christian home when you get done. And we have a book called The Happy Book, so you know the difference between joy and happiness. You know, God doesn't want us happy all the time. Some people think that, and then they're disappointed when they're not happy all the time. Oh, my goodness. Now, you can be happy. Jesus taught his disciples, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. He was washing feet, and he taught them. And you know what I found? The happiest Christians I know are people that not only know the Lord, but they serve God and they serve others. Amen. That is true happiness. Amen. And so I have those, and I'll mention some more tonight. Now, as I said, if you can't afford one of those CDs, your pastor has a copy and he can get you one. If there's a book and you're hurting and you're just going through a tough time and you can't afford it, then you just come by and tell me. We'll take care of that. I don't want somebody hurting just because they don't have the money for it. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. In just a moment, I'll have you stand when I read the scripture. The title of my ministries is God is So Good Ministries. Now, I've been blind about 13 months. I got a little sight back in my left eye. Dr. Jack Scott and the pastor's school, they raised some money for me. I went to Beth Israel Hospital in New York City. I went up there and they did what they call a deep brain stimulation procedure. And when I got up there, I told them, now I've only got half a brain. Can I get a discount? And they said, no, I don't believe so. Now, here's what you're going to find out. I'm not all here, but I'm having a good time. I tell people I'm the dumbest preacher in America, but here's what I think. It's all right to be dumb as long as you know you're dumb. It's just dangerous when you're dumb and don't know it. That's when you're in trouble. And everything I know is what I've learned in the last 13 years. Everything. My memory was completely erased by meningitis 13 years ago. Now, when I say completely, I mean completely. When I awakened, I did not know how to walk or talk. I did not know how to chew food. I had to eat baby food, and I do not blame babies for being grouchy. If I had to eat that stuff, I would too. Lord have mercy. When I got off baby food, I was tickled dead. When I got a hold of chocolate, I thought I went to heaven. And, but my wife, she had to teach me everything I know. And she teases ladies. She said, John is every wife's dream come true. He forgot it all and everything he knows. I got to teach him. I know how to wash dishes. And no, I wish she could have come. You'd have loved meeting her. She's so precious, so good to me. I love her dearly. But I tell you, I really went through a depressed time. A few months after my illness, as I began to realize what all I had lost, what all had happened, and I was living in constant pain, and I couldn't read the Bible, but I would listen to it on tape, and I'd listen to two tapes a day, and I prayed, Lord, help me read it again, and he's allowed me to do that. And when I got back from, when they got done with the procedure up in New York City, I had some sight in this eye that improved enough where I can see day and dark. Now, I have to wear dark glasses. I'm not wearing these to be cool, although I am. And but my eyes are very light sensitive, and I have to guard them against light. They really hurt, even the one I can't see out of for some reason or other when light hits it. And but I want you to know there were two truths that I had to grab hold of that helped me through my dark times. One of them is that God is always good. No matter what happens, God is good. He does not change. And just because what happens to us or around us doesn't look good and it doesn't feel good, that doesn't change God. And God is always right. It may not look right. It may not feel right. It may not seem right. But it doesn't change God. And I grabbed hold of those two truths. And God began to help me. And it was in the book of Psalms, and David wrote more about God being good than any other Bible writer. And I want us to see it. Would you stand with me? And if I hold the Bible up, these are fairly large print. If I hold the Bible up within about 2 inches of my nose, I can see enough out of this eye to read. I've got some goggles that are very high powered in my room, and I can read just a little bit. But so let me read Psalm 34. In verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, if you'll back up in this chapter just a little bit, look in verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Do you notice he said fears? Drop down to verse 6. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He talks about fears. He talks about troubles. But then he said, taste and see the Lord is good. Amen. Knowing God's goodness is not having an absence of troubles or problems or fears, but it's being able to rise above them and believe what God really is and what he wants to do. Oh, Lord, bless this time. And I pray that every person today will leave here saying, the Lord is good. Change us, Lord. Oh, I pray. I thank you, being such a good God, you would give your Son. And I thank you, Christ, for being such a good Savior, you would give your life for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me check what time it is here. I have to use a watch that... 11:25. All right. Mine has to tell me. You might want to get one for your preacher, and then you can keep up what time it is, too. I'm kidding. But anyhow, when I awakened a little over 13 years ago, I did not know who I was. I did not know who my wife was, to whom I'd been married for 22 years. She had to begin to teach me when they began to learn and realize everything was gone. And so the way that I learned to talk in the early days is I could see then. Now, the blindness came 13 months ago. It is a residual effect of the brain damage that I had 13 years ago. But a complication started that led to my blindness within 1 month's period. But 13 years ago, I could see. It was distorted vision, but I could see. And so my dear wife, her name is Donna, but I always call her my Donna. Here's why. She began to tell me, "You're John, I'm Donna, we're married." I didn't know what that meant. Boy, I sure liked it when I found out, though. And I would watch her lips move. I've got so good at reading lips, man. If I was watching a football game or something, I could read the lips of the people on the sidelines if they showed it. Sometimes I didn't like what I read either. And I would watch her lips move, and I said, "Married? Married?" Now, my English was very broken. My speech has improved since my blindness. The doctor said when I went blind, my mind stopped being so distracted, and it focused on speaking. What a good God. He can bring good out of anything. And so I said, "Married?" "Oh," she said, "I guess you don't know what that means." Okay, what that means is you belong to me and I belong to you. And I asked her, "You my Donna?" And she said, "Yes." And that's what I call her ever since, is my Donna. And she has been so good and precious to me. She taught me everything I know, reading, writing, and kissing. Oh, boy. Now, my favorite subject is kissing. That's my favorite. Now that I'm blind, I can't find her lips, but I kiss till I find them, buddy. I tell people this. At least when I woke up, I knew I was supposed to kiss a woman, not a man. Amen. I wasn't mixed up on that. So she began to teach me. She taught me phonics. I'm hooked on phonics. And she began to help me. It took me around 2 years to learn to walk. And many struggles began. I call mine issues instead of problems. I'm not saying it's wrong to say you've got a health problem or something, but I just prefer to call mine issues instead of problems. They just become problem if I let them. And I have seizures, take seizure medication. I have what they call cluster migraine headaches. Clusters are like 4 or 5 migraines going off at the same time. The nickname for the cluster migraines are called suicide headaches. If you were diagnosed with a cluster migraine headache today, the doctor by law is required to ask you if you've ever thought of suicide, because so many people get so tired of living with the pain, they end up taking their lives. Now, I wish I could tell you, and by the way, I want to say this to you. I'm not going to tell you of the difficulties that I've been through and the issues that I've had, because I want you to feel sorry for me. I don't. I'm having the most wonderful time of any preacher in the world. I get to travel all over the country and tell people how good God is. You can't beat a job like that. And I love it. And I began to experience these headaches, and I couldn't walk, and I was pastoring a church when all of this happened. And I asked my wife, Donna, was I doing anything that was bad or wrong as a preacher? Do you know of anything? She said, John, we were in the height of our ministry. I was in perfect health. My Donna took me to that hospital one day when I had a bad headache in the back of my head and neck, and it was hurting so bad I passed out. She said, I don't recall what happened. And then when they began, I live in a little town. A church has an apartment in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We don't own the apartment, but we have an apartment that they let us stay in. And many times we try to be there where we can minister to some of the hurting people in the church there. But most of the rest of the time we live in Rosebud, Arkansas, where they said I started a youth camp 33 years ago, and we have a couple thousand kids in the summertime or the camping season. We have a nice double-wide trailer there on that campgrounds. The camp gave us 3 acres, and it's got real brick underpinning around it, not that fake kind. It got real brick. I got me a Frady hoe back behind it. That's what the old timers call a storm cellar, a Frady hoe. I don't care what you call it. I'm getting in it when I hear the wind blow. Trailers are a magnet for tornadoes. I don't know why that is. It's nice. My Donna and I had our 35th wedding anniversary. My middle son has a ministry called God Is So Good Kids. He was here a few months ago, put up his inflatables. He said, Dad, I never seen anything like it. He said, this one group just charged in there, and he said, not half of them spoke English, and he said they got so many on one inflatable that they squashed it to the ground. The fans couldn't even keep up with it. He said, I never seen anything like it. He's also a master plumber. I figured it's about time to get a little return on all that money I spent on him over the years. And I had him put us in a Madonna. We have 2 bathrooms in our double wide. And I had him take out, we had literally a plastic garden tub in one corner, and I had him put in a real one for my Donna with a jacuzzi in it. I said, you can't call me trailer trash no more, buddy. When you get a jacuzzi in there, you've upgraded, I'll tell you. But let me just tell you, that's our dream mobile home. You say, what do you mean? I've never heard anybody call it a dream mobile home. Let me tell you. You see, when I became ill, I was pastoring a church. And by that time, it was up around 150 in a small town. Rosebud only has 400 people when everybody's home. And I was in a little town 10 miles from there that only had 3,000. And I'd taken a church that had a lot of difficulties, my wife said. It had grown enough where they could afford to get me a medical plan. And I hope you take care of your pastors and staff with medical needs. But I was in a picture of health, and my wife said. And instead of choosing to get regular insurance, there was a Christian medical share program. And there's some very good ones out there, and I'm not trying to belittle them. But that one, at that time, 13 years ago, the man that started it stole $2 million from it. They caught him, they prosecuted him, but it didn't do any of us any good. We were stuck with thousands upon thousands of dollars of hospital bills. My wife didn't even tell me what a debt was. She didn't want me worrying. I didn't know, had no clue what money was even. And so she began to set up payments and pay these hospitals and doctors and a little bit each month. And at that time, we lived in a house provided by the youth camp that I'd started. And so we began paying them. And not only did it take us 5 years to pay off all of our medical bills, but that man also took something else very valuable. He left me uninsurable. Once you've had brain damage, almost everything is pre-existing. Thankfully, not cancer or heart problem, and I've had some of both of those, and thankfully they've been covered by some that we've had. But you know, she said, I made that choice based on I thought I'd rather give my money to other Christians than to a big organization. And she said, I made it sincerely. I thought that's the best thing. Not knowing that just 6 months later, it would cost us everything financially. And still does to this day. If I hope I do not have to, but if I get the onset of a cluster migraine, I have a residual effect of them constantly every day. But if I get an onset of one and I do not catch it in time with the medication that I carry, I would have to call pastor and he'd have to take me to emergency room and they'd have to bring that pain level down to where I could live with it. And my medication could take care of it and go on from there. So it costs me every time I go into that. Now, I could be mad and bitter at that man, but it wouldn't help anything. It wouldn't help a thing. And I've got a God that has taken care of me. But listen, some of you are sitting here and you're going through financial difficulties and trials. I know how that feels. My wife had power of attorney general where she could sign things and do all of that till I got where I was halfway here. I know how that feels when you just are wonder what's coming next. I asked my Donna one day, I said, are we poor? She said, no, we're just broke. And I felt better. But we know that we live one hospital stay away from just could wipe us out. So we began a downsized dream. We'd get us a mobile home and fix it up really nice. And we've done things to it, and she loves it, and I love it. You know, some of us, our dreams may have to be a little smaller than others, but that's okay. I've got a good God. He's taken so good care of me. And he will you too. And I would ride a scooter. I couldn't drive a car. My sight was so distorted, I couldn't drive a car. And they'd let me drive a Honda 80 scooter. That's as big as I could drive on the road. Now, a Honda 80 only goes 35 wide open, and I'd drive wide open. And I would drive from my house down to the church. The church allowed me to continue to pastor. Our church actually grew more after my illness than it did before. Hurting people started coming, and God began to give me a message to hurting people. And I love helping them. I'm here to encourage you. I'm telling you, I know what it is to be down in the pits. You've never in your life seen a person pray harder to die than the man you're looking at right now. I begged God to take me to heaven. I begged God. I felt like I was a burden to everybody. Nobody tell me I was a burden, especially my Donna. But I was so tired of hurting. I was so tired of the pain and the trials. I knew suicide wasn't right, even though I didn't even know what the word meant, but I knew it was not my choice. It was God that needed to choose when man lives or dies, and I still believe it's God that ought to choose that and not us. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad God told me no. You'll be all right, son. You just don't know it. But I want you to know you've never seen a person in your life want to live more than the one you're looking at right now. Oh, has God helped me? I'd wreck and ride those scooters. I wrecked every month. I'd hit something. See, pulling, I had a two-lane road for 10 miles into town, 55 miles an hour, and I could only go 35, and truckers going 65. When I had to hear them and look in my mirror, I'd head to the side of the road, and I'm telling you, you hit gravel or wet grass on a scooter, you're gone. So usually I hit trees or fences, hit a cow one time, but Could usually get 4 or 5 wrecks out of a scooter, but only one cow, I promise you. Let me tell you my favorite scooter wreck right quick. I was going down the road flying 30 miles an hour. Had my helmet on. It was hot, so I had my visor up. And I'd already learned, see, a Honda 80 only has a windshield 2 inches tall. So you get all the bugs. I had my glasses on to keep bugs out of my eyes, but I yawned. When I yawned, that bug thought it was a cave and went in. Problem is, he went in and he got stuck right here and he's still moving. I tried to get him down if he wanted to go in the ministry, but he wouldn't do it. I tried to cough him out and he wouldn't come out. But I had to do something, buddy. He's still moving. So I head to the side of the road, and just as I did, there was a big old piece of rubber some trucker threw. And I knew, oh no, too late to miss it. This is all I need's a wreck. And I hit that big old piece of rubber and it went right up in the wheel well of that Honda 80 scooter and stopped it. But not me. I know how Superman felt for about 2 or 3 seconds. I went flying through the air, hit face first down on the ground hard, man. Knocked the air out of me and the bug came out too. I tell people God gave me the Heimlich maneuver. God good, isn't he? I don't know how to got that thing out of there. But listen to me. I had just a few too many wrecks. Ended up having to have a back surgery and have a rod put in my back. I tell teenagers I'm into heavy metal now. I went through malignant melanoma cancer. I had 110 stitches put in my face. You can't even see where it's at. They did plastic surgery to try to patch it up. Doctor said, John, if it had been 2 millimeters deeper, all we'd be doing is cutting out body parts. But we got it just before it entered your bone. Thank God. God's allowed me to go through a few things, but I believe he's good. And I believe he's right. Amen. You say, John, why do you believe that? Because everything I know about God and you know about God comes from one source, and it's the Bible. And if you want a real good clear picture, get you an old King James. Amen. That's the clearest picture of God you'll ever read. And I'm telling you, I remember one night, I particularly had a difficult night. And that night, I'd hurt. I'd had the onset of a cluster migraine. My doctor was a Christian doctor. Him knowing I didn't have insurance, at times he would come out to my house. You don't have this happen very often now. He would come out to my house to give me an injection of morphine when I had a terrible onset of a cluster. God's been so good, and the doctor that I have at the pain management clinic in Little Rock, I've had that same doctor for 13 years. My family doctor introduced us. He's a Christian man. He told me one day, John, I'm your humble servant, and if there's anything in this world I can do to help you keep going, I want to do it because I want you to keep helping people. He said, you're in the worst profession a person could be in for your condition. He said, flying is one of the worst things on people that have seizures, and mine are motion triggered, so I have to load up with a seizure medicine. For cluster migraines, if you're experiencing that, something about the pressure, tugging stuff along your back, you shouldn't even be doing that. But my doctor's really right now don't even want me traveling, but I knew God wanted me here. There's somebody here that I need to help. I knew that. And I'm telling you that these trials and these difficulties, they can beat you down. They can get you where you feel so burdened. And that night I was feeling so burdened. I was laying there on the couch and I was listening to the Bible and the book of Psalms. And David again said, taste and see the Lord is good. In other places he says, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. over and over. There's different ways we hear and read about God's goodness. And here's what I determined. God, I'm going to believe you're good and you're right no matter what happens. I'm going to start living by faith and not my feelings. At that time, I couldn't even walk. And I said, God, if I never walk again, I'm still going to believe you're good and you're right. You see, this book tells us what God is like. Now, we can either believe it or not believe it. And I'm telling you, there's times things do not look good and they do not feel good and they do not seem right. And I can't even make real good sense out of it. But I believe that's why the main message for hurting people is trust the Lord. Trust Him. They didn't understand the cross. And don't you ever forget why He came. When He began His earthly ministry, public ministry, He said, the Lord has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's why He was born into this world. He wanted to help hurting people. And He does. And He does it over and over and over. Not just for me, but for you. And my friend, I'm asking you to trust Him. Because I learned that's the only way to live. I don't push people to get better too soon. Everybody takes a different amount of time when it comes to grieving or hurting. But I do try to encourage people to focus your attention on the Lord. He's the only one who can help you. And there are times when your loved ones want to, but they cannot. Oh, my Donna, I love her so much. Love being married. I remember when I heard in the Bible, Jesus said in heaven they neither marry nor given in marriage. I thought that's a bummer. I like being married. I done told the Lord I'll save Him building one extra mansion. Me and Donald just live together. We don't need one separate. We'll just have our own. And I thought, how am I going to get a loophole around this thing? I didn't know, but you know how you look for a loophole. I think I found one. Here's what it is. He said in heaven they neither marry nor given in marriage. It didn't say anything about those done married. Like if you're not married, time you get there, bud, tough luck. You don't get it. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but when you see me up there, you'll know. If you see me and my Donna walking down that golden avenue holding hands, you'll say, it worked, didn't it? And I tell you, the grace of God. 13 months ago when I experienced blindness, I went to some of the best doctors in the world. And they told me, we're so sorry, John, there's nothing we can do. It's a residual effect of that brain damage that happened many years ago. I'm telling you, that was not an easy thing to take. I begged God, please don't take my sight, please. I begged Him. And He took it. You say, well, did you get mad at Him? No, but I had to say, God, you know that deal I made with you at that time 12 years ago? When I said, if I never get better, I'm still going to believe you're good and right. I'd like to sign up for that again. If I never see again, I'm still going to believe you're good. I'm still going to believe you're right. And I love you. And one of these days you may want to tell me why. And if you don't, that's okay too. I'm going to trust you. I tell you what a peace that gives a person. I'll tell you, God has given two things to hurting world. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, that you might be saved and know you're going to heaven. You see, I may have it tough down here, but buddy, when I die, I've got it made. I'm going to get a new body. I can see good. I won't have any more pain when John said he saw that city. And there's no more pain in that city. For some people, that's not a big deal. But buddy, that is for me. Thank you, John. That's my city. I'm going to get the fastest scooter in glory. I'm going to throw up some gold dust as I go down, flying through them. I'm telling you, if you're not saved and you die without Christ, your suffering just started. One of the things, I have another reason to be glad I'm going to heaven and not to hell, and that's because in hell, it's darkness forever. And I promise you, you don't want to live your life in darkness forever. Where I'm going, there's nothing but light. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? You see, when I awakened, I knew God. I didn't know how I knew God, but I knew Him. I went through a little time of doubt. If you come back tonight, I'll show you how God gave me the assurance. The most asked question to me is, how did you know you were saved when you could not remember ever doing it? Tonight, I'll answer that for you. But you can know that you're saved. You can know that you're going to heaven. I remember just glimpses of my hospital stay toward the end. And I remember when I would be hurting so bad, my wife had taught me a little bit of saying, thank you to people that do things for me. And I would be hurting so bad, a nurse would come in and say, Mr. Bishop, I'm going to give you something for that pain. And I'd learned by that time that they would put that medicine painkiller in my IV. I had three of them. I'd had an allergic reaction to one of the medications and it nearly killed me. I'd blistered all over my body. And I remember when this nurse would say, we're going to give you something for that pain. And I knew that shortly after she would put that in there, I would be unconscious. And I remember saying, thank you. Thank you. But my friend, if you die without Jesus Christ and end up in a place called hell, there will never be a nurse come to you and say, I'll give you something for that pain. It'll be all right in a few minutes. And always at my side was my Donna, touching me, telling me, John, it'll be all right. I love you. If you die and go to hell, you'll never hear anybody say, I love you. There is no love in hell. God is love, and there's no, absolutely no presence of God whatsoever in hell. But all I'll ever hear in heaven is, I love you. I love you. My friend, today, don't die and go to hell. Make sure you're going to heaven. Make sure you're saved. No matter how tough you have it down here, you may feel like, oh, listen, I believe somebody got it in for me. All I've ever had is a rough time. Oh, my friend, listen to me. God is there. And even if you go through a lot of tough times down here, you just think compared to heaven, that's just a drop in the bucket. Heaven is forever. The second thing God's given hurting people is the local church. Oh, my friend, God has given the church to help hurting people. I thank God for my church when I hurt. They were there for me. They loved me. They had to carry me into this church service. I didn't even know what a pastor was. They had explained to me what it was. But I remember they carried me in and set me down, and I knew this was home. Thank God. I wasn't going through it alone. I was reading AARP magazine a couple years ago. I don't agree with their philosophies at all, but I was reading that magazine, and I saw where they said, according to a study, anywhere from 15 to 30,000 people a year die in hospitals due to accidents or mistakes made by someone there. Now, you've got to realize they treat well over 4 million people. That's not a big number compared, of course, unless you're in it. That makes it a little bigger. But I want you to know the hospital is not a perfect place, but it's still the best place to go when you're sick. I want you to know the local church is not a perfect place, But it's still the best place to go when you're hurting. If anybody's been in the church long, you've been hurt sometime or another. The man that followed me, the church that I pastored 15 and a half years, and I remember that last 4.5 years, my dear friend, the man that followed me ended up leaving his wife, divorcing her, marrying another woman, breaking our hearts, and we had to leave the church that we loved dearly. Every one of you, if you've been Christian very long, somebody's hurt you in some way or disappointed you. But I promise you, God will never disappoint you. Amen. And he's the one that started the local church. I'm glad I'm a member of a local church. Amen. I buried a man that attended my church for years. His wife and children belonged, but he wouldn't belong. He had belonged to a little church when he was a child that did not doctrinally teach what we teach or believe what we believe. Now, I believe the man later got saved and led him to the Lord, but he said, I've been baptized once, I won't do it again. But we couldn't accept a baptism that didn't represent truth. We just couldn't do it. So he never joined. Now, his wife and family did. I'm there at the funeral home. They're getting ready to write the obituary. And they said, now, member of church? Member of Cleburne County Baptist Church? I said, no, put attended. His son got a little upset. He's grown now. What do you mean, attender? I said, son, he never joined. Now, I do believe he went to heaven because he had Christ as his Savior. I'm not saying he went to hell because he didn't join our church. Joining a church and getting baptized isn't what takes you to heaven, but it is receiving Christ as your Savior. Amen. His mother put her hand on his arm and said, son, the preacher's right. Your dad should have joined that church. Matter of fact, 2 weeks ago he talked to me about doing it, but he never got around to it. When I die, they're going to put member, not attender. What about you? And I want to invite you to come this morning. Maybe some of you need to join this church. This is where God wants you to serve him faithfully and be identified with this place and your preacher that loves the Lord. You got a wonderful pastor. If this is where God wants you, this is where you ought to be. And some of you that are hurting need to come and say, dear God, I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you're good and you're right. I don't understand why all this happened. I don't understand how you could let it happen, why these things are taking place. But I can leave here believing you're good and you're right because your word says it. Some of you that are hurting need to come and bring that burden to the Lord. Maybe it's not the burden you carry for yourself, but for someone else. I tell people there's two times everybody needs to get close to God. Don't ever forget this as long as you live. Two times. One, when you're hurting, get close to God. If you've got something driving you to your knees, that's a good place to be. And number two, when you're not hurting, because somebody else is, and they need you close enough to God to help them. So would you come this morning? If you're not saved, would you come and say, I want to make sure. I know I don't want to go to hell, but I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, preacher, and I want to make sure today. Maybe I need to join this church. Maybe I need to follow Christ in baptism. Oh, what a good God and what he's done for you. How could you refuse to show the world he's yours? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and love. Lord, I thank you so much. How patient and kind you've been with me. I have failed and let you down so many times these 13 years. Lord, I whined and I cried. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you how it all turned around that night. I said, God, I'm going to believe you're good and right because your word says it. All your ways are right. And I thank you, Lord, the peace and the joy you've given me. Yea, even the happiness as I'm able to help others. God, I pray if anybody here not saved today, they'll come. Anybody here with doubts, they'll come. and let someone pray and talk with them. Anybody carrying a heavy burden, that they'd just come and leave it here at the front and walk back with that load lifted. Oh God, have your will and way, I pray. In Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed. The pastor will be here at the front if you'd like to come. And there's other staff I think could probably be here to help you and pray with you. If you're visiting, don't be afraid or ashamed a bit to come down. This is the kind of church you can come forward to. As they begin to play, will you come right now? This is invitation. This is God's opportunity for you to do something today. Being a blind person, I can only see shadows of people if they're up close. I don't know if people are coming or not, but I hope you'll come. Some of you, one of the greatest things you can do for God this Christmas is start serving Him again. There was a time you once served Him and lived for Him. You ought to come back and do it again. What a gift to God. Some of you carrying load on your heart for you or someone you love. One of the things that motivates me to want to live close to God is I know there's a lot of hurting people out there that God wants me to help, and I can't do it if I'm not close to Him. You'd be surprised the people you could help if you would get closer to God.